We'll wait for a couple of minutes for the other people to join and then we'll start. So now we'll start. Good evening, everyone. Myself, Rishabh. I work in the Finance and Accounts Department, and welcome to the Adore Welding's annual investor presentation for the March 25. Today, I have with me our MD, Mr. Aditya Malkani, Head Corporate Strategy, K. Suryanarayan, CFO, Mr. Suryakant Setia, Mr. V. N. Dede, Company Secretary, Head Compliance, Legal, and Admin. So we'll start with the presentation by the MD, and then we'll jump into the Q&A.
Okay. Good afternoon. I hope I'm audible. Thank you for taking the time to attend. I'll quickly have a run through the presentation and then we'll open it up for question and answers. This was based on the results, the annual results and the Q4 results posted last week. Standard disclaimers, the management team. We want to highlight, where is this going? Where is this coming here? Sorry, just give us a second. We want to highlight the core management team. Besides myself, we've in the last year, in fact, had a few changes. Mr. Lajpat Yadav has joined us as CEO of the Indian Welding business, and Mr. Suryanarayan has joined us as Head of Corporate Strategy. The rest of the team, Mustafa, Suryakant, Mr. Bidet, all have been there for some time. Our vision, we recently had a relook at our entire strategy planning for the next 3 to 5 years. And we're very post-merger, we're very clear that our vision remains to create the best welding experience and remain focused on our core line, core products accordingly. Our mission is to be India's number one welding company, both in terms of within India itself, plus supplies from India outward. Our goal, which is newly introduced, the vision and mission you would have heard before in previous meetings. Our goal, however, has been newly defined, and that is in terms of, as a company, to view ourselves more as a mid-cap company, obviously from a valuation basis, and also in terms of all of the processes and structures and all of that that come to it. Our values as a company remain critical to performance, customer experience, and trust. I'll just give you a quick overview of the numbers. You would have studied them at some point. The revenue growth is approximately 5% for last year. A fairly strong operating cash flow, which has been well done by the finance and accounts team. Efficient operation work capital has improved by approximately 18 days, and these numbers will be available to you. In other highlights, we are pretty much debt-free. The international markets that we've been focusing on, USA and Australia, have grown a bit this year and will remain a very big focus going into the coming years. The international business continued to have robust growth at more than 25%. And as you all know, the merger has finally been completed in September, October of last year, and most of the integration work, I would say up to approximately a 98% level, has been completed now. The FY25 figures, again, this will be available to you. Some highlights are primarily on regard to quarter four being a little better than we had seen in previous quarter through the course of last year. A little softer on the margins overall for the entire year than where we would have been. That's primarily due to lags in Q2 and Q3. And we remain hopeful that the base of Q4 we will build on from there going forward. On a segment overview, the primary reason to show this was to give an overview on the M&R business, where there was some concerns after Q2 and Q3 about margin drops, to show you that with certain activities, we're getting that back in line with where we want it to be. The services business is primarily is our flares and process equipment, as you know, continues to have a few challenges, especially on the on a certain project of ours called ONGC Uran, which I'm sure there'll be many questions about. And we expect over the course of the next 5 or 6 months for most of this to be cleared out. And we'll hopefully be in a position to break even on that front as we do in that business going ahead and then building profitability from there onwards. FPD, sorry, this is going to primarily focus on the timely execution of projects, cost optimization as we go ahead, and identifying core orders with improved margins. We will focus very clearly on mid-size flares, small to mid-size flares, which is our sweet spot, process equipment, and heat exchanger market, which is what we are defined to operate on that can give us the exposures that we are comfortable with, plus the potential margins that we're looking at going forward. In the welding business, the highlights have been, and where we continue to make more investments, have been in the flux core wire space, where we stabilized a new line last year, and we expect to make more investments over there as well. Similarly, in the stainless steel products, where we see a lot of potential, and the Ador having a lot more potential than what we're currently capturing, and we expect to make further investments there. About a year and a half ago, we started talking about EV versions of welders that were coming out, and we created our own product, first go-to-market product, and we started to see some traction, not only in India, but in international markets as well. And through this year, we expect to make a few breakthrough orders. We are unofficially also looking at the next version of it, which would be solar powered as well for certain critical markets that we supply to. We remain focused on improving our product mix, our basket with richer products. And that's where the high-end welding consumables, whether they're related to nickels and other stainless steels and stuff like that, are coming into play, is what we are adding into our basket going forward. This year, what is going to be very critical for us is ensuring that the approvals we have in place and adding them, the nuclear space, thermal space, and defense space, all the places we expect a reasonable amount of CapEx outflow to happen and spends to happen over the next coming years to come into play accordingly. The pillars of our strategy that has been focused by the operational team are on growth, operational excellence, customer focus, and people focus. As we mentioned, we have a plan over the next 3 to 5 years in terms of changing the profile of the organization. And for that to happen, the micro parts of it that we worked on have been laid out. Our volume growth will be a big driver. Initially, we were more structured on a value growth perspective. We're now starting to look at volume growth slightly differently. And definitely driving margin across products and business segments. We are, as I keep saying, a slightly old legacy organization. And as we make management changes, we are trying to build in more and more performance culture into the entire system. And we are starting to see the results of that in recent months. And I expect over the course of this year, some more tweaking to happen that will fine tune the organization accordingly. Adding new products is, of course, critical, especially a company like ours, where you're tier one competing against MNCs across the world. You have to be able to bring in new markets faster and bring in new products faster to market. I apologize. And that is exactly what we will be spending a lot of time and effort and resources on doing. There's always scope for improving on costs, and there's more and more dedicated efforts getting into that this year. We believe that there are certain pockets of what we call inefficiencies that can always be improved upon, and that has to reflect in our margins. We've been working on it in recent years, but we feel in this year, we've got two or three very clear markers that we need to work on. Beyond that, automation will continue to play a drive going forward, as do all the important parts related to safety and innovation. The one big change we talked of in previous meetings that I still would like to push on is As an organization, especially in the India welding business, we need to add on a larger framework of key customers that we work with. The team has been working on this, and we expect in this year to see some benefit to that. The distribution network remains strength and pillar of the company. However, there are pockets geographically where we can always strengthen, and we'll keep doing that. Industry segments, as we've talked of in many meetings, the growth pattern that we see is obviously very segment-driven, specific, and therefore we are identifying how to keep strengthening ourselves in segments that we see doing well in coming months and coming years. Lastly, we've discussed this many times, but the merger value creation perspective that we had pitched for, we are starting to see some benefits to it. It'll take a little more time, and I think it's far from over yet. There's more that needs to be done, and the benefits of it will, I think, play out continuously over the next 6 to 18 months. That sense. That's pretty much the presentation. We will now leave it open for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. I'm your moderator for today's Q&A session. Our first speaker for today is Mr. Pritesh Chheda. Mr. Chheda, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please unmute your audio, start your video, and ask your questions.
That's US dollar
2.77.
You can hear me?
I can hear you, but there's some disturbance. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So my question is first on the products business.
Yeah.
If you could tell us what is the volume growth in the year gone by. And then there was this one line that I saw that exports have grown 25%. So it would be nice if you could give us the split of growth in FY25 on domestic market growth for you guys and the export market growth for you guys.
So the domestic market for this, the domestic market has been at the end of the year fairly flat on that account. The export market has obviously had a bit of volume growth. We've actually had a very good year on the exports front of the equipments, on the welding equipment perspective, which has also helped a lot over there. As far as what used to be, what is the consumables part, I think it's been fairly flat in the India space over the course of the year. On the welding equipments, we saw in the last 2 quarters or 3 quarters, we saw it dip in India on the capex front, but we started to see that pick up a little bit better since probably March onwards.
So basically for full year, international business has grown 25% and domestic business has grown 0%. Correct?
Pretty much on that front on a volume basis.
Okay, this you gave for the volume. Okay. Okay. So, and the overall volume growth in the business is 5%. And whatever is your revenue growth is the volume growth.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you also had declining steel prices. Huh? So please keep that in mind. Huh? That's why you're going to see that impact.
Okay. My second question is now on the services portfolio where you have this losses since the last 2 years and a higher number this year. So how do we see this segment for you in the coming year?
So since this will come up a bit, I'll clarify it. The big project that we're dealing with obviously is the Uran project, where in the last, we expect by HY1 that this will be completely behind us. And we would have closed down, commissioned it correctly, and done all of that. We don't feel that there are any significantly large, anything significant on the losses front left. It will be fairly flattish as we go through the next 6 months in terms of closing this out on a break-even kind of level. That is what we expect. After that, we have now started taking on orders that fit into what we believe is our capability level. We need to do approximately in the region of, I would say anywhere in the region of approximately 50, 60 crores of business of that type of work, non-large scale projects, to be able to break even and then show profitability from there. And we started building up our order book to anywhere around 70, 80% of that level already. And we remain committed that we'll focus on this part and we'll be able to grow value from there as of now.
Okay. So if I interpret you, what you mentioned is that beginning H1 26, we see a no loss situation in this division. So whatever is a minus 16 crore segmental EBIT number that you reported last year, FY26 number should be closer to break even, considering that the last project is executed into H1 and delivered, and you get that base order. If you get more than the base orders, then you show a higher number. But as of now, you're pegging that you will get that break even value small projects, correct?
That's pretty much what we expect going forward from here. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a tiny, sorry.
Also, the EBIT margins are actually better, so if you compare
You
the.
say, say, say.
Yeah, also, I think, Pritesh, you should see that your EBIT margins on the services business, which was at about 24% in FY24, has actually improved to a still a negative, but has improved to a 19%. And I think what we will see it break even will be more in post H1. And that's where we will see, you know, taking in more better margin projects, which will be smaller ticket size, but focused on higher margins compared to what we were doing in the past.
Okay. And my last question is on the division which came with Adore Fontec.
Yeah.
So, right. So I think that division you guys call it as
It's right now called MNR. It's called the MNR.
MNR. Right. So in your in the Fontec days and now, why is it there a significant drop in the size and the absolute profit of that business? It used to be a fairly stable business for a long period. So how do we read or look at the future of this business?
So there are two elements to it, Pritesh, the way I see it, there are two elements. The first is that keep in mind that you looked at an economic period post-merger, which has been slightly difficult. However, having said that, the stability of the business and the stability of the product going forward should be fairly okay. The second part is keep in mind that their main customers are cement, steel, all of that, where the last 6, 8 months in terms of usability has been a little softer than we expected earlier. Third thing is that we have taken certain products out of that product range and move them into our key products business because it's better suited for growth and scalability over there. And right now we're sort of establishing everything on that front. We don't expect on a gross or net margin level on a product to product basis, it'll be any different to when it was part of Adore Fontec at all. In fact, as we scale up, of course, we will take on a little more price aggressiveness, but as far as margins go on an overall basis, we should see it being pretty much in line with that.
So this you gave an assessment of why it has dropped between pre-merger and now. What will be the forecast or what will be the future of this division next year?
I can't give you a number per se. All I can tell you is that on a gross margin level, there should be absolutely no difference to what we were used to. That's what we'll work back towards on that level.
And on the business piece, which was 200 crores before merger and 150 crore now, so there's a 25% drop. In 1 year, so how should we read that?
That's absolutely on account of what the economic situation is, part of it. The second part of it is on account of key segments and products that we've moved out into the products business from there. Most of it is absolutely okay otherwise on that front.
But how much of the drop is to do with the exit of the product? So 25% drop is okay. Only to do with
about 15, 18, 15% or so will be on account of that. The balance will be on account of. We've been a little soft in terms of our numbers this year. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. I'll come back if I have more questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chela. Our next speaker for today is Mr. Viraj Mehta. Mr. Mehta, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please unmute your audio, start your video, and ask your questions.
Yeah, hi, Amit. Thanks a lot. My first question is regarding your EPC business, players business. I mean, pardon me, but we have had repeated commentary over last 1.5 years saying that next 6 months will be profitable. And this is not the first time, right? We have done this business after having already had one round of massive write-offs. And we are again going through the same learning curve again. So, I mean, it's just very difficult as an investor to understand. Are we repeating the same mistakes? I mean, what exactly happened here?
So fair enough. It's a fair question, but there's a slight difference, and I'll just clarify it over here, Viraj. It's a slight difference. The write-off that happened pre-2020 or 2020, 2021 was related to a slightly different project, and at that time, Then for a year or two, I was very clear that I did not want to take on a large scale project. Then in 2022, we started looking at the future of the business and evaluating what sort of projects can we take on to move further up in the technology space of Flair. And I very consciously took a decision to take on a fairly large order of ONGC run at that time, which was my responsibility to take it on, to see if we could upgrade our technological skills with larger and larger jobs to see how it would move. That job is still going on. I have not taken another job after that. That job is still going on, and that is the one that we have been seeing is getting slight delays, execution issues, all of these, like you said, typical EPC stuff that really should not be where we should be focused on, very rightfully. But that is the same thing that we're working on closing out. What I've been saying actually in previous calls is not 6 months to turn to profit. It's 6 to 8 months away from closing the project in its entirety, which has gone through a few minor delays on that front. Now, I'm very clearly saying that yes, you are right, that there are lessons learned from here very correctly. And the way we see this division is not an EPC division. We see it as a fabrication division, which will work on flares of a smaller size and capability that fits into our sweet spot. Plus, heat exchangers, pressure vessels, and all of that that come out of our shop floor based on where we are approved. So we expect the margins to be better. So I don't think the sum and substance is I don't expect profitability to be 6 months away. I expect the large orders and the problems to be a lot behind us. And then it's a question of stabilizing it as we go forward and not taking on much exposure. I hope that clarifies it to some level. I understand it's frustrating, but just bear with us as we get through this entire part.
Sure. No, it's just that, like, so in future, will we take such large projects
No,
where?
we will not take on such large projects at all. We will only take on projects where the design and scope is within a limited understanding of ours. Most of our order book will be very limited to up to about 15, 20 crores. There are one or two things that we're looking at which are slightly bigger, but the scope of exposure of work is nowhere near this. So it's much smaller than that. So there is a massive learning on that account.
Right. My second question is regarding Adobe Fontech. I mean, and you did explain to Pritesh about how we saw a significant decline in earning, I mean, top line in Fontech. But if I look at like 10-year history, this just seems a very unusually large drop in, and in the past also we have had tepid years now, and for capital goods put together or even for MRNA services, this put together was not such a bad year that we'll see such a massive drop in top line. So
No, sorry, there's a slight issue here. That part of their business line has moved into the products group.
right.
So you're not seeing that separately in the M&R space right now. That's why.
Okay, so you are saying
Not
you're
one is to
not.
one. You cannot compare revenue as one is to one. You all profitability as one is to one.
So can you
We have moved.
clarify?
Yeah.
I understand. You have moved the product, some products from Fontech to the products division of welding. So clarify, can you please clarify on a like-to-like basis how much revenue for Fontech would have fallen?
So on a like-to-like basis, if I look at it over the last 6 to 8 months, on the CapEx products that Fontech used to do, which is our hyperthermal range of products where we do plasma cutting, plus our tornado range of products, which is the welding equipment, both of which have seen a weak capital cycle in the last year, that has dropped. That has probably accounted for anywhere in the region of approximately, like I was telling you, there's only 15% or something like that. On the products that encompass M&R, that are in the M&R group, one is to one on that front. We would have seen in the last 6 months anywhere between a 5 to 8% drop on certain restructurings that we have going on. That's basically it.
Right.
Does that help?
Thank you so. Yes, it does. Thank you. Thank you so much, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker for today is Mr. Jason. Mr. Jason, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please unmute your audio, start your video, and ask your questions.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking my question. So just to start with, just wanted to understand, first up that steel prices, they have recovered from 48,000 HRC per ton to now 52 odd with the safeguard duty, et cetera, coming up as well. So just wanted to know, how do you see, I mean, of course, steel prices are very important and a critical element of our realizations. So how do you see demand recovery coming up in the next couple of years? I understand a lot of macro uncertainties are still on the horizon, but if you could provide some color on 26, 27, how do you expect it to be after a sort of a tepid 25?
Look, we remain optimistic. We always remain, I mean, anyone in our industries and stuff like that, Indian entrepreneurs in general will always remain optimistic on that front. But you get visibility, to be honest with you, of about 3-4 months with a high level of confidence. Then you look at and you can see what's happening with steel, and you can see some demand factors and all of that playing out. And right now things are not bad on that front at all. They were much rougher, if you ask me, in August, September till December, Jan, when you were seeing steel prices getting squeezed and demand getting squeezed, which left us in a very tight position. So I feel much more optimistic than that at the moment. Whether that cycle changes every 3-4 months, I'm not in a position to comment, so I won't. We do believe sectors such as railways, thermal, defense, general infra, heavy engineering to remain on a fairly robust growth path going forward from here. So I don't think you can expect any irrational type of growth at all. I think it's not like you're going to come out of COVID and go boom like that. I think you're going to have to be a little more tempered in that. But we view those to be fairly optimistic.
Sure. Thanks for that, sir. My next question actually is from a more of a strategic point of view. Now, I can see that in the past 1.5 years, you've done some top-level strategic hires as well. And so one thing is, just from that perspective also, I just wanted to ask you, you know, when you look at welding, there is, of course, you will have a lot of unorganized competition as well. Probably you're not catering to that, but there is still unorganized competition in the market. Local brands and, you know, a lot of things are done. So I just wanted to understand, you've done some top-level hirings. Just wanted to understand, where is the strategy? What are we doing different in terms of the competition? You know, how are we moving higher up the value chain? Just some color on how we can probably, you know, grow higher and at a much faster pace, you know, going up in the next 1 to 2 years.
Oh, good. That's a lot of what we do. I'm more than happy to touch on it. I think we must start off with, where do we view ourselves? As Ador, we view ourselves simply as India's tier one welding player, and probably the only one that is not an MNC. So which means you don't have the external support that an MNC would on certain technologies or products and stuff like that. And I think that that's something that in many conversations with many investors and analysts always come up. And it's been something on my mind in terms of how do we keep working around that. So I think we're very clear that, I think over the last year and a half, 2 years, we've been talking about how do we overcome this correctly going forward for the next 5 years, 10 years, and all of that. And talent was a very big part of getting the right talent to come on board to help us take it forward in that sense. And that's what we spent a lot of time in the last year and a half doing, and identifying very good talent and being very fortunate that good talent is willing to join us and be part of this journey going forward. So that's part one. And we're starting to see the benefits of that. And I expect over the next year or two to see even more benefits of it. That's part one. At part two, where do we want to go? We've got a mandate internally that we would like to be able to double our revenue over the next 4 years. And that means outperforming the market growth rate, of course. So we needed the team to be able to do it. We've sort of got the plan in place to try and do it. Now we have to go out there and implement it through this entire process. We saw a very good success story in the international business by trying it. Obviously, you had a low base effect, and we've got a lot of benefits of trying it. The brand is doing well in the markets we are operating and trying to enter into. You can't take that same story and put it in India, because you obviously have a much higher base effect and a different competitive playing field. But you can definitely make changes to the way you look at the business, the way I look at the business versus the others do now that we brought them in and how they take it. So I think it'd be quite interesting to see how it plays out. But yeah, we are investing very much so, and we've invested a lot to get the right people on board to help make these changes going forward.
Sure, yes, sir. I mean, looking at our market cap and looking at valuations, you've done a sort of strategic hires. I believe if things fall into place and the drag on the profitability from the services business, you know, starts to reduce, we should be much, much higher, you know, better than what we are doing. So yeah, so that's
I
what my
hope
question.
so. I hope so too. It's been a bit of a tough I think it's been a bit of a tough year, year and a half because of certain drags that we've done, and now and the merger itself dragged a little bit longer than we would have liked and all of that. But I think a lot more of the pillars are a little more in place today than they were earlier, and I'm hoping that'll help. I think
Yeah,
it'll
sir.
help. I'm quite confident it'll help, actually.
And sir, I just wanted to understand one thing as well. I mean, I understand. So, of course, when we are compared to the market leader. So, just correct me if I'm wrong. Of course, when you look at equipment and consumables, I believe in consumables, we must be almost neck to neck. But in equipment, the market leader has a big advantage owing to various advantages which you have spoken before in terms of network, technology, MNC, etc. So just wanted to, if you could touch base on certain aspects which we are doing to basically reduce the, you know, basically improve our product portfolio there in the equipment space or the consumer space, if you want to highlight, you know, on that aspect as
I'll only comment on Ado. I won't talk about anyone else. But from
well.
Ado, what we are doing is we are spending a lot of time and effort, especially recent months. We've in fact upped it to so on the welding equipment front, we started launching more and more high spec products, basically more technologically advanced products where you're entering a bit late, but you have the Ado advantages. So we're trying to break in that mold, and a few results are starting to come. The results to be of scale will take a little more time, but we are seeing that. We've got some homegrown products, which we're also seeing some benefit to, which we develop, like the Rhino Ease and all of that, where the benefit to revenue and margin will come in probably over the course of the next 6 to 18 months. We have seen a lot of benefit in the international market with some of our technologically advanced products. We do some very interesting products that go into the Saudi market and all of that, where we take on the MNCs over there, and that seems to be working well. On the consumables, the stabilization of the flux cord line was something that was very critical to us and has taken a little bit of time, like it would for anyone, and very happy with the products that are coming out. Now we need to scale that up. Similarly, the nickels and all of those specials, high temperature kind of products, as they go into thermal more and more, we'll see a little bit of benefit on that as well. So I think across the board, we are working on it step by step. I'm sure we'll be in a position to do better than we did earlier.
Okay, sure, sir. And sir, you did a CapEx of around 40 crores and 25. Any CapEx guidance for the for 26, 27, if you
I think we'll be within the region of that, up down minus 15%, 20% as far as it goes. Yeah, it should be about 15, 20% up down from that because there are still upgradations that we have to do, looking at the long-term plans, looking at the new lines we want to add and stuff like that. So we will remain quite strong on strategic CapEx, but it won't go much beyond that figure at all. That's an outer limit figure.
Okay. And sir, just finally want to ask you, of course, we have spoken about the projects division. Now, we have done a revenue of around 84 crores this year. Okay. Now, just wanted to understand how much of this project, the ONGC mega project, is remaining. I believe it was a 123 crore odd product net of GST. So,
Right.
how much execution is remaining right now? And also, and of course, there's your base FPED, the heat exchangers, etc. That will clock in probably 30 crores each year. Is that a fair assumption? And
That's a
probably
fair
this
assumption.
project,
It's a
yeah,
fair
that.
assumption. It's a little, we have to push a little bit more than that number that you said, but it's a fair assumption, at least for this year. But I definitely need to get more than that to come out of it to be able to break even. Which we can do, we can see it. We've got the order book building in accordingly for that. As far as the ONGC order goes, I think on the ground, I would say we're close to about 80% of the project being done. As far as revenue goes, about 60, 70% done. 70% revenue done, 80% on the ground, 80, 85. And it's going through this period of, quick commissioning at over the next 3, 4 months. So, yeah. Is that
Okay, sir.
okay?
Thanks. Yeah, those were all my questions. Thank you so much for
Thank you
answering.
very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker for today is Mr. Devang Shah. Mr. Shah, you are now being placed in the meeting. Kindly unmute your audio and ask your question.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir. You, as you explain about certain challenging times in a M&R division and service division, we have seen a some kind of 5% top line growth in this particular financial year. That is very we can have some kind of lower end of the range. So my question is that we have seen earlier in a compounded annual growth rate of last 3 to 5 years somewhere 10 to 15% kind of range historically we have seen. So just to get your input by all the calculation about project division after Adore Fontech you did a merger also and made a streamline of the product that certain product has been transferred to Adore Fontech as well. Just I want to understand some ballpark number. Will we return to somewhere double digit in the range of 10 to 15% kind of top line growth over next 2 years perspective, sir? That is my first question.
Look, if we don't look, so I look, let's separate the question in two parts. The first part is, as you would have seen, you know much better than me, is that the growth rates of the economy and the IIP figures and all of that in the last 6, 9 months have not been as encouraging as we had all made plans for. So I think I can't not escape that reality. That's part of what the world with the ecosystem we survive in. So we have to keep that in mind. Is it looking a little better than it was? It is definitely seeming a little bit better going forward. So we hope that that will be a little more robust. As far as our numbers goes, yes, very much so. In that line is what we should be looking at. And as we do that line on the top, as we do that business on the top line, incremental effect to the bottom line should be quite significant. I mean, that's the way we're set up. We should start seeing an incremental benefit on the top, on the bottom line accordingly.
Because why I'm saying you, because in the September quarter, you mentioned that you were having a some kind of operating margin close to 7%, and you were saying this is some kind of worst phase at this particular quarter. And eventually, you came out and this particular quarter, once again, we bounced back as far as operating margin is concerned. That's why, sir, my question is that, the way we made a some kind of bounce back, that can be possibility. And one more thing adding over the here also, our operating margin now, sir, we are going to remain in some kind of close to 10% kind of range we are going to maintain. That's what something because we have seen the worst phase.
It's a bare minimum as far as I'm concerned is 10%. It has to be a little bit better than that. And then we know how to make it better than that. It's a question of executing.
Okay. And sir, as far as steel prices metrics are concerned, just to get an idea, sir, to get an idea, if we may see a some kind of tariff related aspect is going on right now, and incrementally we may see some kind of uptick in a HRC steel price as well in a future. Sir, how we can deal that particular situation? Will be able to pass on, and will is going to affect our margin?
So I think that's one learn. Look, I don't, I can't predict steel prices, so I won't get into that. But I think one thing that we are learning, and this is part of the new management team that is coming on and the stuff that they are taking on and their experience and their stuff, is I think we're just going to be a lot more brutal about passing things on a lot faster and having the strength to do that. And I think that's exactly where the management changes are coming in. I'm seeing that they are doing it effectively. So I think I'm not too stressed about large movements either way on steel prices at the moment. I think I was a little more worried a year ago in terms of how we dealt with it. I think now I'm a little more comfortable that the team has the ability to deal with it much faster.
Okay, so we can get, there is not to worry on that particular aspect.
No, I'm not worried. I'm not worried. I'm not worried on that front, no.
Because, sir, last year what we have seen, you were having a, because of that merger, only the September quarter was, actually made a entire year, as far as, your total EPS is concerned. Otherwise, if you would exclude that particular thing, at least you would have some kind of, flattest kind of growth. So that has actually, dented at entire year. That's what we perceive as far as our analysis is concerned. So, if we exclude that particular element, I feel eventually we will not have a such kind of thing. And, we may have, as you have mentioned, close to aspiration to be a double digit growth as far as top line is concerned, because margin is going to be steady. So I don't think so, worse as far as company performance looks like, over. That's what we can make it out, sir.
Yeah, we are all on the same page as you. We are all on the same page. I don't give any guidance, but we are all on the same page as you. That's all I can tell you.
Because, you know, one thing we understood as far as positioning, as you already explained in your presentation, the way you are having a positioning in thermal defense and the way the economy also we are perceiving as far as, you know, our economy is concerned. And you did also well in this particular export international market in this particular financial year as well. So we feel that it continued to be a some kind of, you know, as far as your business is going to be a some kind of, you know, push that we are going to get. So not much doubt as far as positioning. As a last question, as far as international market is concerned, we may see a some kind of, you know, the way the good show in this particular year, we may see us, you know, what's your means target as far as growth opportunities concerned for the
look, as your base effect keeps going up, you know, it's always hard to keep expecting that level of growth. However, our core markets are well placed. Our core markets are at the moment in terms of revenue out of the Middle East, Saudi, the UAE, Oman, stuff like that, remain seem to be well placed. So I'm very hopeful that a fair level of growth will come from there. However, it is our job that to get that other growth, we need the additional markets, which is what we've identified the US as being a very big market potential for that. The team's done an excellent job of identifying the network to start getting into parts of that market. It's a huge ocean. Obviously, there are different parts, and we're getting in there with our brand, which is something that is very important to us, which means that the story you have to play out takes a little bit longer. You also get in not with the high margin products, you get in with slightly lower, but as you keep building the pillars step by step, you start to, I think, feel that that can give us something good going forward. So I think a similar, you know, the Arrow International business has the ability to deliver on that. I've been happy with the margins that they've been helping out on. So I think, yeah, very much so. We've invested in a team accordingly. So let's play it out. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, and wishing you all the best, sir.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Pritesh. Mr. Pritesh, you are now being placed in the meeting. Kindly unmute your audio and ask your questions. Mr. Pritesh?
Yeah, hi. My question was one on the steel price side. So this year you had a lower steel price. And usually in your past calls, you've said that lower steel price does benefit your margin. So, you know, I was just wondering why it didn't play out this year. And now when you see
that... Because you had demand squeeze. You had a massive demand squeeze. Not only that. So you had an inventory squeeze that happened on accordingly to that, which is not a long inventory squeeze. It's a 1 month inventory squeeze. But the sharpness of the drop in demand and the prices, there's only so much you can bear on that account.
Okay, so now when in the H2, when the steel prices have gone up, does it negatively influence your margin benefit?
No, it doesn't negatively influence our margin. And the difference, Pritesh, is compared to earlier is, if you remember, I always used to talk about a certain lag in terms of what input to output prices being passed on was. Depending on which part of the cycle you're on, you see an upward, downward. And the difference is now I feel with the management team, the additions we have made and them driving this is that smartness of how to deal with it is slightly being improved. That's it. So we should see a benefit to it, if anything. Minor benefits.
And I missed out your comment. Where did you spend this 41 crores of capex into?
40 crores of capex primarily went in new consumables additions for new lines to be done. Like I said, stabilizing a little bit of all of that. I think most of it was on that account. Most of it is on the welding consumable lines, plants. Most of it is the plants in Silvassa, in Raipur. We have a little bit going forward to Bangalore this year. Primarily that.
Is it new products or is it new products or?
It is new product lines. Yeah, it is new product lines that will be manufactured at scale now, larger scale stuff like that. Yeah.
New product lines, or it is, I can understand the new product lines,
No, it's not a new product. It is a product that primarily the Indian market depended on imports for, where domestic production has come in. And in that, we have scaled up the production. We used to do a tiny bit of production earlier, and we have scaled up the production on that. So it's a new, I would say, import substitution line. Let's put that.
And when will it start operational or
Are they
how
started
long will it?
operational? Started operational.
Okay, so last year it was available to you
Q4
ongoing.
onwards, it started moving quite big, quite stable. Yeah.
Okay. And my last question is on that large order in the services business. So you have booked out the cost related to that order until now? So that's how the accounting principles. So you've booked out the cost, is it? Or there can be any surprises there?
So Pritesh, to the extent that we have invoiced and the work done, we have booked out all the cost. And as Aditya said, we are almost done about 75 to 80% of the work that's completed, and almost a similar percentage for the billing done. And we are at the fag end of closure of that project.
But Pritesh, on that account, just to let you know, is that we've had, as you can understand, a few cost overruns and stuff like that. So you can't expect. So you understand that overall as a margin, that project is not holding up what we talked of a year or two ago. So that's all coming down. So it's not like you're going to see some big hiccup coming in this 6 months. You're basically seeing 1:1 on that little number and then take it from there. So that's where it's coming.
Okay, done. Thank you.
Thanks.
Our next speaker for today is Mr. Ram Kumar. Mr. Ram Kumar, you are now being placed in the meeting. Kindly unmute your audio and ask your question.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I just had one question on the margins. So we've seen stellar growth on the exports front, close to 25%. And but however, on the margins margins for the products division is kind of flat. And I think you had previously in the for the I mean when you're replying to a previous speaker, you just said, you were stating that initially we are selling lower margin products in our export market, so probably that contributed. But I was just wondering, how do margins compare?
A slight difference, there's a slight difference I want to clarify. As
Yeah.
we enter new developed markets like the US now, we will be entering with slightly lower margin products to build up volume and brand and then build from there. Not what happened in the last year or two.
Okay, got it. So just want to understand, how do margins compare with respect to your export markets and when you compare that to India? Is it pretty much the same, or
Yeah,
do we make higher
pretty
margins?
much in line, and as long as the dollar doesn't dip down too much and remains where it does or moves up, obviously you see a benefit, but pretty much in line with India. We're not concerned with the margins being anything.
Okay, got it. And I think predominantly the export growth so far has been from the Middle East. What is so if you just talk about how big the market could be, or what are strategies there for the medium term, and how we are targeting other markets as well, that would be helpful. Thank you.
So we expect the Middle East to continue to have fairly good demand. Again, you don't have the base effect, so you've obviously moved up, so you can't expect that level of growth to come in. But we expect there to be very decent demand going forward for the next year or two, as long as the spends that are happening in oil and gas and all that other stuff continues in those markets. As a division and as a company, we would like to see more robust growth than that, and we would like to enter different markets, which is why about a year ago, we started making the investments to enter. We believe the US and the Australian market are quite interesting. The US more so as it's larger scale, and especially given the global dynamics that are shifting. So we started doing a lot of that. We're starting to see results. It's still tiny as an overall percentage or small, but we expect that if we keep doing those steps correctly, and the acceptability of the product seems to be good in the regions we are trying to break in. We expect that to be a kicker to give you that level of growth continuously for another year or two.
Got it. Thank you. And just one last question. So I mean, it looks like exports ha has helped up helped us plug the decline in Indian revenues over the last year. So I mean, have you seen any loss in market share over the last 1 year, or how do you view it?
No, I don't view that we've lost any market share at all. I think the Indian market has been very tough.
Okay, because you said there has been a, there has been like some products from the M&R division have been shifted to the products division, and that's approximately like 20 crores. So roughly the core business is flat for the full year?
Pretty much flat for the year. Like I said, on volumes, it's flat. Stuff is pretty much flat. Dipping steel prices, you had variations month on month last year, which were quite sharp. I'm not concerned about a market share from last year's perspective. No, I think this year you'll have to push a little bit, obviously, to build that up.
Was there any decline in sales of certain products because of some environmental regulations with respect to the diesel engine
No, the
vendor
diesel
US?
engines are doing very, very well. In fact, in abroad, and we expect them to do well this year. We've upgraded them. So what you have to do is simply you upgrade them like car scenario. It goes to BS4. All of the standards change. In fact, last year there was a standard change that had a small impact for the Indian market. But in fact, we sell 75% of those products go in the international market where it does not have an impact. And that's actually been good and hopefully will remain good this year.
And sorry, what about the Indian market with respect to this product?
Should be good this year. We're expecting that whatever I've seen in terms of the order potential for this year seems to be more interesting than last year on that front.
Okay, sure. Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker for today is Mr. Samarth. Mr. Samarth, you are now being placed in the meeting. Kindly unmute your audio and ask your question.
Sir, am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, we have like the erstwhile Adore Fontec had two plants in Bangalore and Nagpur. While is there any rationalization that we can do? Because we earlier had plans of rationalizing plants once merger is completed.
We're not rationalizing anything at the moment. In fact, what we are doing is looking at products that can move from different plants to have a benefit in terms of scale and quality and stuff like that, or all of that. But there's no rationalization at the moment. We've done a full detailed review of it, and we actually feel that certain investments in these plants can also benefit the entire company. So we're looking at it from that perspective.
And earlier, we were not exporting any products which Fontec did. And in the last call, also, you had mentioned there were low-hanging export opportunities. So, can you talk about that?
Started a little bit. We started doing a little bit. It's still small, so you're not seeing it on an overall revenue basis. But we are starting to push a few more M&R products out of there. So we will start to see over the next year or two, especially in the Middle East market primarily. I think that will come in. It's not going to be a game-changing effect in terms of numbers, but it'll definitely help in terms of the margins for them going forward. No, I think that's pretty much most of it.
As far as the erstwhile means the Adore welding business was concerned, we were slightly lagging behind in the automation products. So any success on that side?
We are, if you ask me very candidly, still lagging behind on the automation, and that's not something that's going to change tomorrow morning. We will lag for a little bit of time, but what we are actively doing is ensuring that we keep pushing our product portfolio to be very clear in terms of what we want to do and how we can make money doing it in that, which is what this year is going to be a lot about. In fact, a lot of the new talent that's coming is focused on that. We also are figuring out ways to be able to jump that a little faster. And if there is some good opportunity that comes up, we will definitely look at that as well. But no, we have still not turned the corner on automation. It's very much a part of what we're focusing on trying to turn.
Okay, and on my last question, the 3D technologies. So do we want to continue or we'll sell it?
I don't think it's feasible. I don't think it's feasible to invest long term in that business. And right now, I'm not going to say anything more than that right now. I'm just going to keep that with me. But I don't think it's feasible. We've been through a lot of it. We figured a lot of it out. I think the dynamics change too much around us. I don't think it's a long term sustainable investment for the Adore Group.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have another follow-up question from Mr. Jason. Mr. Jason, you are now being placed in the meeting. Kindly unmute your audio and proceed to ask your questions.
Thanks for taking my follow-up questions. I just wanted to ask, so we have spoken about exports. It's been a good year for exports. Now, just if possible, could you give me the absolute numbers for 24, 25, and any guidance you would like to give for 26, or not guidance also, just...
I have to wait for the annual report, sir, Jason. I can't give you anything. I can just tell you, if you look at last year's annual report without me telling you too much, is that, like I said, you had about 20-25% growth on last year's numbers, and we're looking at those sort of numbers going forward. I think
We
it'll be a
have...
good A little more muted than that, may not be up to 20-25%, maybe a little more muted than that, but in that high muted, for sure.
Sure. So the 24 annual report says exports is around 122 crores. So probably 25% on that, I should think. Okay. Sure. Okay. Fine. And also, Aditya sir, just one thing I wanted to ask about, Adore Fontech used to clock in around 200 crores of top line. Now, you said some products have been transferred to the products division. Can I get a rough estimate of how much has been transferred to the products division?
I would say anywhere in the region of approximately 20 to 25% of their sale is now moving into the products division. That does not mean that you see 20-25% of that sale in Q4 because those products have also gone through a slower CapEx cycle. So keep that in mind. But as far as the product portfolio goes, it would be anywhere in the region of 15 to 20% of that portfolio has moved.
So 15 to 20% of around 200 crores has been sort of shift rejigged into the products division, right?
The products to grow that, yeah, and hopefully the
Yes,
service.
yes. Okay,
Yeah.
okay, okay. Got it. Yeah, sure. Those were all my questions. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You.
Thank you. Our next speaker for today is Mr. Pankaj Motwani. Mr. Pankaj, you are now being placed in the meeting. Kindly unmute your audio and ask your question. Mr. Pankaj?
The cutoff. Is anyone else?
Yeah, that was last speaker for today. Now over to Mr. Aditya sir for the closing remarks.
No more investment. There's been any write-off. You've taken it already, no? In that sense, there's nothing very tiny amounts left. Okay. Sorry, anything else?
No, that was last speaker for today, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.